Nicodemus misunderstood the double dimension of born again and born from above, and is stuck on anthropology alone. Can you see that in his comments? The physical rebirth. Jesus' words speak of a radical new birth. It's a birth from above through the lifting up of Jesus on the cross. It's generated from above. But Nicodemus' language and imagination don't stretch enough to include that offer. Now, some of us may think, well, Eric, Jesus is talking about baptism. Well, if you read further, he's not really talking about baptism. In verse 4, when Nicodemus repeats Jesus, he uses the Greek term for born. Now, excuse me if you speak Greek and I say this wrong. Geneo is the word in Greek. It literally means born from a mother's womb. This is easily misunderstood from a human perspective because of the water that's involved in that process. However, Jesus is talking about a gift from above. Nicodemus is stuck on what he knows from an earthly standpoint. Jesus is saying that the entrance into the kingdom of God will require a double birth, the physical birth through water and the spiritual birth through the Spirit. New life will be born of water and Spirit, no longer only from the physical birth or water alone. Can you follow that? So, Spirit and flesh are held together through Jesus Christ. Well, Eric, I'm willing to accept that. I accepted Christ a long time ago. Well, if you did, that is really awesome. I'm glad you did. And for those of us maybe who haven't accepted Christ yet, we need to think about things like this. How often do we limit ourselves and others because of our pious knowledge of what we think the earthly reality is? How many times do we limit ourselves because of how we are treated by others and what people say about us? Too far one direction is selfish confidence or arrogance, and too far the other direction is laziness. See, I can't even say it. And slothfulness. Now, I know I had this experience, and I'm guessing that many of you or some of you had this experience as well. This is getting farther and farther away, Jamie, but back whenever I was in elementary, and the PE teacher would choose two people to make teams, many times, guess who was the last one standing there? How do you think that made me feel? Neither one of them wanted old Eric Dirks. How's that make you feel? That shapes who we are, doesn't it? That shapes us. I'll never forget whenever I was a senior in high school, we played our first game. I scored more points than anybody else on the court. I was so excited. I thought, man, what a great way to start my senior year of basketball. And then in the next practice, coach decided to change strategies a little bit. And he didn't want us to shoot a basket until after so much time had elapsed that we had gotten the ball. Well, Eric got the ball on the free throw line. That was his favorite spot. He was open, and so he took a shot. And Eric got yelled at and had to run line drills. If some of you don't know what those are, they're not very nice. Well, the bad thing is, see, I really respected this coach, and I didn't want him to yell at me. And so I kind of went into my own little world, a world that I understand now is more slothful, because I was afraid. And so Eric just had kind of an average senior basketball year because Eric didn't want to get yelled at anymore and do something wrong. How many of us are more afraid to do something wrong than we are to have the will to do something right? These things shape us, don't they? These things mold us into who we become. And God is saying, I've given you gifts and talents that you haven't even used or discovered yet. Stretch your minds in what you believe the Spirit can do through you to reach my people. Let me ask you, how many times through the centuries have churches shorthanded themselves in what God can do through them? How many times have Christians limited how God can use them and said, well, we've never done it that way before? By the way, that's usually the seven words of a dying church. Or what about that church? They can't do that. That shapes congregations, doesn't it? Again, God is saying, I've given you gifts and talents that you haven't even discovered yet. Stretch your minds in what God can do. If I could read it correctly. You believe the Spirit can do through you to reach my people. That is the real point, to reach God's people. In the early days of the AIDS epidemic, one of New York City's most courageous and tireless workers against the disease was a physician by the name of Joyce Wallace. To help stem the tide of the virus, Dr. Wallace allowed herself to be blown by the wind of the Spirit to look at things in a new way. And she followed the light of God into a dark place, not only treating infected patients, but also cruising the west side of Manhattan and paying prostitutes $20 to be tested for AIDS. Though she experienced the skepticism of her medical colleagues and the daily disappointments of seeing patient after patient die, she refused to be dissuaded from her mission, confined by the conventional definitions of what was possible. In fact, she drew inspiration from her mother. Her mother was a teacher of brain-injured children. On one particular powerful memory was when her mother had her class do a stage production of My Fair Lady, and she gave the lead role to a little girl in a wheelchair. It never occurred to her mother, reported Dr. Wallace, that the audience, so conditioned by life's boundaries and what is possible and what is impossible, that they would weep when the little girl rolled across the stage singing, I could have danced all night. Impossibilities, possibilities. Born again, born from above. As individuals, are we going to be limited by the boundaries that we place on ourselves? Or are we going to see the boundless possibilities that the Holy Spirit empowers us to achieve? As a church, are we going to be restricted by the boundaries that we have placed on this church community? Or are we going to step out in faith into the limitless possibilities the Holy Spirit has empowered this church community to achieve? I'm going to show a movie clip this morning. It's from the movie Patch Adams, one of my favorite of all time. Now, parents, make sure you watch the movie before you allow your children to see it. But it is a great movie. This morning, the movie clip is based on a true story, by the way. Hunter Adams, played by Robin Williams. And he has checked himself into a psychiatric ward and has become interested in a man named Arthur Mendelsohn, who keeps holding four fingers up in front of everybody's face and says, how many fingers am I holding up? And when they answer four, he calls them an idiot and small-minded. We enter as Hunter is trying to figure out what the real answer is.